Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
The guy we go to for answers when it comes to football business news, he is the MMQB weekly columnist, host of the Business of Sports podcast, the director of the Morad Center for Sports Law at Villanova University, Andrew Brandt on the line with us. Hello, Andrew. John Murphy and Steve up here in Buffalo. Thanks for doing this on short notice, but we don't know who else to go to answer our questions.
Always good to be with you guys, and you mentioned my podcast. Two of the recent guests on the Business of Sports podcast have been Charlie Ebersol, son of Dick Ebersol, founder of the AAF, and Tom Dundon, the owner of the Carolina Hurricanes, who came in and started funding it in week two and took on a CEO chairman role. So I encourage everyone to listen to these podcasts about a league that apparently, according to reports, is on its way to cease to exist today.
Yeah. What happened, Andrew, that started out with great promise, good people in charge, a great opening weekend the week after the Super Bowl with pretty decent TV ratings? How did it all fall apart after 2 months?
That's a great question. You know, it seemed like there was a $250 million pledge from Dundon, but a lot of people misinterpreted that they had $250 million. You know, no investor's going to just throw that in there before they see how it operates, if they're involved, if they want to get more involved. So I think it was $250 million pending if he wanted to stay involved and run the league probably for a couple of years. But reports are that he spent about $70 million and he's pulling the plug, I guess because the ratings just didn't match anywhere near the first 2 weeks of the season. I think you had to expect against March Madness it's not going to do anything. And maybe attendance figures, sponsorship figures, all below his expectation. There is a lot of news out there, which I don't really know a lot about, is this app that they were all invested in, this gambling app that never seemed to come to fruition. And maybe that's a big part of this. But again, the reports are that Ebersol, who I had on the podcast when it first started, and Bill Polian, the two co-founders of the league, wanted desperately to keep this going, and Dundon, who's the money man, has decided to pull the plug.
Do you make anything about the players and the acquisition of players from the union? There has been always been some smoke over the last couple of weeks about the union not being on board with the league and not letting players who are signed a futures contract go and play in the AAF. Is there anything to that would affect this?
Yeah, I would think that's part of it. And you know, this is where hiring Bill Polian and other NFL people, you got Phil Savage in there, a lot of people I know, you know, you would think would grease the skids towards a good, positive, strong relationship. And maybe they did have that with the league side. But now we talk about the players' side, and you hear about players' union pushing back on whether these guys can go back and forth to league and team. And they want to be involved in it. And now we're talking about bargaining, and the next bargaining is really not till 2020. So, yeah, you can see this being part of it, too, where, again, I go back to Dundon. He's a smart guy. He owns the Carolina Hurricanes. And he, you know, he saved the league, which is really sort of the unwritten story here, that they got to week two and needed a cash infusion. And now he's decided, you know, I'm done with the cash infusion.
Andrew, it doesn't seem to look good if the Players Association is not in support of player development here, which is what I thought the Alliance was primarily about, does it? Especially a couple of years out from the next CBA.
Yeah, I mean, this one probably needs to be fleshed out more, and I'll try to get Dundon back on or Ebersol back on the podcast, because I'm in the same camp as you, like, everybody's worried, you know, on the same side here of the players. So what's going on? And I do think the real issue here becomes developmental. And I was involved, as you know, with the NFL World League and NFL Europe. And it was always kind of a push-pull between business and developmental. And, you know, if they're looking at this as a business model, maybe they're, you know, it's not a good one. Mm-hmm. But if they look at it in a developmental sense, it is a good one. And there's always the question of, and you can debate this on your show, whether a marginal player is better off signing in an NFL offseason workout program to probably get cut in August or to do this. And that's a debate we had in NFL Europe. We had the hardest time getting NFL teams to send us players because they'd rather have them in their program in the spring.
One of the questions that keeps coming up, and you said it, you've been involved with these leagues before. If this league doesn't make it, who can? That's the question.
Well, Steve, I do give the XFL a better chance, and I have from the beginning. And it comes down to, you know, my specialty, which is business. There are so many investors in this AAF. I just thought this isn't going to work because there's former players, you know, Justin Tuck and other players, and there's former management, and, of course, there's Polian. And, like, everybody's got a different feeling, I would think, about where they want this to go. And I just mentioned it, business versus development. Now, next year, XFL 2020, here's their advantage. They got one investor. One investor, right? So it's Vince McMahon. And he just sold off, I think, $500 million of WWE stock. He is extremely well-funded. And that means one mission, whether it's to make, you know, fun and schlocky gimmicks, fine. But it's one mission. So I give them a real shot, and a friend of mine, Oliver Luck, is commissioner, and he didn't leave number two job at the NCAA for something that wasn't going to happen.
Yeah, right.
So I think they got a real chance.
We talked to Oliver at the Super Bowl, right?
Yes,
we
did.
Did we have him on the show?
Yeah,
I think we did.
Yeah, we did. He was on our show, and yeah, I was a former teammate of Ollie's, and you're right. He's a sharp guy, and he's not going to jump onto something that doesn't have a real good foundation for being successful.
Andrew, is it too?
Yeah.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I mean, he's lesser known, or probably better known, for being Andrew's father.
Right.
But he's accomplished a lot. We were general managers together in NFL Europe way back.
Yeah,
Andrew.
Exactly.
Is it too soon to write the obituary for the Alliance and kind of blame springtime football? You know, you mentioned it right off the hop here about the ratings challenges and going against the NCAA basketball tournament this time of year. Maybe does this tell us that springtime football will not work, does not work?
Well, it's funny because the reason it will work was happening, and that was withdrawal from football.
Yeah.
Super Bowl ended. This league's season was, I hope it is, but sounds like was, February 10th, which is the weekend after Super Bowl, to the draft. So it had that nice window of NFL withdrawal. And that's why it was giving it hope. And you remember the Twitter love it was getting opening weekend. And this is cool and it's real football and we miss it. But I guess like anything, that fades. And then I don't know what you had on TV before March Madness, but like anything, kind of the novelty wore off and people move on.
Yeah. Andrew, I got one more question for you about the post that you wrote for MMQB, I believe late last week, about Rob Gronkowski's retirement. You know he's a Western New York native here, a Buffalo area native. And you maintained that Rob Gronkowski got a free pass from the media during his NFL career. What did you mean by that?
I got a lot of angry New England media calling me today.
Who cares about that?
Yeah, it came out this morning. And basically I just said, giving him his due on the field. But I think you have to look at it as an outsider. Does Rob Gronkowski's kind of Gronk being Gronk, meathead, lovable, likable guy, does the partying kind of get a pass? And I know he's not doing anything illegal, and I know he's not beating up women, but just sort of pick a name. And I don't pick a name. I just let anyone who's reading it pick a name. And if they had the same off-field activity, would they be treated with such a lovable wink-wink about this guy? So I just kind of raised the idea, and I just think it's interesting from an observer's standpoint how he just got a pass on his off-field behavior.
Have we set the bar pretty low when it comes to off-field behavior? You're right. He never got arrested. He never got in trouble.
I don't know. I mean, I think part of it is likability, which is an obvious statement.
Right.
But You're likable. You get away with things. Like, listen, I don't mean to make this comparison, but let's just think in your mind if Johnny Manziel was a great player. Let's just imagine him being a great player. Would we give him a pass for the partying?
That's more than partying with him, though. He's had domestic violence accusations.
Yeah. Well, I guess that was just partying. I don't know. I mean, I'm just trying to pick another name.
Yeah, well, he's one of a kind, no question about it. So I don't know that there is a readily available equal comparison to a guy that's had his success and then had his notoriety off the field, particularly given the fact that he was on a team that was always late in the season, postseason, a lot of Super Bowls, and a guy who, that's kind of one of the stories in every offseason now is the celebration of the champions. And, you know, we got it with Alex Ovechkin. We watched where he took the cup everywhere in that offseason when he finally won. And Gronk being a guy on a great team who's mostly – I mean, there are other good tight ends in the National Football League. Nobody had the kind of exposure Gronkowski did because of the Patriots. So it's hard to make a comparison to anybody else. But I do see your point. If it was a different guy, I don't know that he gets the same treatment that Gronkowski gets.
Yeah, that was my point. And then listen, doing Boston radio this morning, they kind of raised their own issue about, like, Gronk's probably just cultivating this whole thing. You know, because it is a selling point. Maybe Gronk is a much more serious guy than we know. You know, so that could be as well.
If he is, it is more than we know.
He's hiding it well.
Yeah, he's hiding it well.
Andrew, thanks for this. Short notice today, but we were concerned about the alliance, and you cleared things up for us a great deal. Thank you very much.
You got it, guys.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.